There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday edition of the show. Easy to get in touch as well. 251-343-0106. As for a call or the ever-popular text line, both 251-343-0106. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talkback message as well. All right, I mentioned this. Coming up in the second hour of the show, you go back and look at older maps of Mobile. I mean, we're sitting where the station is sitting in it. The balls are sitting in it. Actually, it stretches far north of where we are and to some degree south of where we are. If you look at the old maps of Mobile, there was, you could see the roads and see, the population, where there were more roads and more people. But there's a donut hole in the middle of our city. And maybe you only know about this place because it's where the Comet Cowboys supposedly, that's where they reside. Coming up in hour number two, a discussion of Rag Swamp and what it meant to the development of Mobile. We'll do that here on the show. Starting off this hour, I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, we're having a conversation here, and I'd love to hear from you as well. You got questions for our guest. You can do that on the text line. Mobile City Councilman, District 4, Ben Reynolds, back on the show. It's been, not just cliche saying this, it's been too long. Hello.
Good to be on the show. I'm glad to be back. First time in this term, I believe.
I think that is right. So, starting fresh. Everybody, it's Ben Reynolds, District 4. A lot to talk about, and I had a list of things because you and I, even before the announcement came out yesterday, you and I decided to have, you're going to be on the show, but I got to lead off with a subject that has burned a lot of words on this radio station here in 24 hours. Your reaction to the latest Mobile bridge project. It's not the Bayway project because that's secondary, but the Phase A, the bridge. Your reaction?
Hallelujah. It sounds like at least the politicians and the folks involved have a little bit more confidence in the bridge project actually happening. When I heard the announcement or I read Senator Brent and Tuberville's story there, I was really excited to hear that some of these ridiculous requirements that the federal government placed on the project were going to be removed. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the city of Mobile, we had to essentially sign up to man a observation tower where we would have to pay for employees and all this stuff, an observation tower on our end. And, of course, we set aside the land to do it. It was just one of those federal requirements. So sounds like the Trump administration is removing some of those sort of arbitrary things in my mind.
Yeah, I have a friend who works in an associated business, and he was telling me about that. He said, there are people in from all over the country. There was somebody, I think maybe I said this on the show back then, but he told me, he said, there's somebody there with a clipboard looking for different animals, and they were looking for almost reminds me of the oil spill. They were looking for seals or sea otters or something like that. They had on the clipboard, yeah. And my buddy's like, hey, you're not going to see any of those here. You're in Mobile. We might have a river otter, but quit looking for that. Nutria.
Nutria watching tower.
But they were this is the stuff that drives people crazy about government. I appreciate taking a look at the environment, making sure you do the least amount of damage, but don't have somebody with a clipboard looking for a walrus.
Yeah, some of those arbitrary things, they just get blown out of proportion and become bigger than what they need to be. The big news, obviously, is the bridge moving forward. It looks like we've got the ducks in a row to make it happen. And, you know, we've been watching these test pilings being driven along the Bayway now for months. And that's just sort of been the glimmer of hope that I've been clinging to, that this thing looks like it's really going to happen.
Yeah, that was the thing I was saying yesterday to folks when the announcement's like, well, we can finally break ground and get started on this. I'm like, we've been started, right, with this process going on. Now, knowing that and then hearing the new toll number and people saying, well, maybe we can change it, to me it feels like, and you can tell me, you know, from your view, that we're probably not going to move off that $7.70 or whatever it is for, you know, going across the bridge.
It doesn't sound like it. Now, I'm not, you know, very much involved with it. The MPO, of course, Mobile MPO, the mayor is on the MPO. Commissioner Ludgood is the chairwoman. And Corey Penn and Josh Woods are also on that MPO. And I don't expect they're going to see substantial change from it. I mean, it's kind of like now or never. And, look, I hate tolls. I think they're ridiculous. But as it stands right now, I was texting with a friend of mine who's a business owner locally, and, you know, he sent me a text, hey, I got 12 employees. They're going to be traveling across the bay. He did his math, you know, on a monthly basis. And then we started talking about it. You start considering how much time your employees are sitting in the traffic and compare that to the toll. The math's probably pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
to a break even.
Yeah. I mean, I know we have the $60. The $60 a month algo pass thing, although I tell everybody I graduated from the College of Communications, not mathematics at Alabama, but that's $720 a year. That's nothing to sneeze at. You know, that you start putting that together, that's real money. Now, if you travel back and forth twice a day or something like that, yeah, the number gets down and it's not so bad per deal. But I mean, it can be expensive.
Very much so. And look, if there was a clear path forward with avoiding the toll, I think everybody who's got an interest would like to see that done. But it just doesn't seem like there's a path forward. And you see this inflated price that keeps on going up month after month. If we kick the can again, where are we going to be in another 5 years or 10 years? I think it's time to bite the bullet and get on with it.
Yeah, this is kind of more, I guess, a question for engineers, but it's also a question for citizens, which you are one of. I am trying to figure out, and I know they love to do the animation. What did Dan Brennan this morning called it? The bridge cartoon, but the animation of what it'll look like. I'm trying to figure out, and this is just regular person question, so if there's an engineer out there that can help me. The bridge, we're doing the bridge is phase A. You come off the bridge, and you come on to the current, you know, the current bayway, but eventually they're going to rebuild the bayway. How are they going to make it line up with where the bridge comes off? Because you got to keep the bayway running while you're building the new bayway. Like, I don't know. Look, I mean, maybe there's an easy answer. I'm just missing it. Maybe it's an overpass or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to look at the plans. Engineers apparently are, you know, they're smarter than all of us, and they've got it designed. I can't speak on it precisely. Of how it all will work.
Okay. Well, let's talk to, last time you were on the show, speaking of that, we were talking about the hockey team to come, right? And I was a big proponent for calling them the Mystics again, and that worked out. But you and I were talking about the additional ice rink. Remember when that came up and people were like, what are they talking about? And either you called me out, like off the air or something like that, and we talked about it and you hopped on the show. But kind of, what do you think now? The announcement, the big, you know, which, by the way, turnout at that thing. I'd have missed, if I'd have cal-sheed that, I'd lost my money on that. A bunch of people turned out for the announcement.
It sounds like there's a good buzz around it. And I think part of it being successful is creating a community feel and getting the community involved with hockey and, you know, creating a bunch of fans that want to go to the event. So there is in their contract to build an off-site practice facility that will be open to the public. The lobbying is still ongoing with it. I'm trying my best to get it in District 4. Councilman Woods is trying to get it further out west in District 6. And I don't know what the other council members are doing, but I can assure you they're lobbying it for it to be in their area. And I don't know what the mayor's idea is, but he certainly has a lot of sway in the location they choose. hockey coming back is a big deal, but the new arena is really a big deal. We did a tour of it. Construction is clipping along, and I think it's right sized. Instead of having a huge arena that really we couldn't fill up previously, now we have a right sized arena that is going to attract first class talent. We've got great partners in OVG and Live Nation to bring the talent in, and I'm ready for the pricing to come out. Tell me how much a box is going to cost so I can get my 8 or 10 friends together and we can all chip in and try to get us a good spot.
That's for sure. That's interesting, though. So it's not – this additional ice rink is not necessarily going to be adjacent to the – it could be – it's not like it's an annex. It'll be self – you know, it'll be somewhere else.
Yes, and I think that's key to the drill. You've got to get – I mean, just as we've been having all these discussions about everything being located on the east side of the city, you know, we need to get stuff and push it out west and bring the whole city together and, you know, create a new city center, you know, around I-65. I'd love it for it to be in the McGowan Park area or at I-65 and Government. There's opportunities that exist there, you know, where real estate could be had and something could be built out.
Listen, when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Councilman Ben Reynolds. I want to get his input up. There's a conversation that they had at City Council about short-term rentals, you know, the VRBO, Airbnb, all that kind of stuff, and what he had to say about that for our city. We'll get to that when we return, just minutes away, right here on Midday Mobile. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:22, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Councilman Ben Reynolds. And this is, I've seen this story come up, Councilman, in the past, but I mean, to see what the actual laws are or aren't in the city was interesting. Y'all discussed it at City Council about short-term rentals. Is that the best way to talk about all these?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so short-term rentals, and what's the law? What is the law for Mobile?
Yeah, so this is something that we addressed 4 years ago. The law is a air bed and breakfast should be considered the same as a bed and breakfast. So the laws surrounding zoning and the standards you must meet for a bed and breakfast match precisely those of an air bed and breakfast, and the city has just failed to enforce those zoning laws for 4 years now. I mean, that's where we're at. Now they've sort of proliferated throughout the city, and now there's, you know, the city's got to take some enforcement action. We passed the law. This is what we wanted, and the city just hadn't enforced it.
Yeah, and we talk about that law because, I mean, it's like you hear about these things. It makes the news. It makes, you know, it gets our attention when it's like a party house or something, right? That they're causing problems for the neighborhood because the people are partying and tearing up and down the street or whatever. But in reading what y'all were talking about at council, it's a lot more than that. It's like that's an acute issue. Y'all were talking about some of the chronic issues for what property values and what's going on around the city.
Right. So, you know, the idea of an Airbnb or these short-term rentals, you know, it's great for a traveler. Me, as I travel, I like to stay in. I'm sure you have stayed in them. And a lot of people love the idea as a traveler for that option being available. But the idea of one being next door to your house, when you put that to someone, a resident, the answer is no. And most of the time it's hell no. I don't want that next to me. So it's very difficult to manage from a city. So I take the perspective of, hey, look, it's a hotel. I mean, that's essentially what it is a hotel or a bed and breakfast. Hotels have a place in your city, but I can promise you a hotel in a neighborhood makes no sense to anyone except for a traveler. And the folks that are operating these things, I mean, they basically get to enjoy the benefits of operating a hotel without having to actually pay and do like a hotel does. You know, we have stringent requirements for hotels, and there's zoning requirements, and there's many things that go into it, parking and everything else. So I'm just where I'm at with it is I think we got the law right. It's just a matter of the government doing what it's supposed to do and enforcing the law.
How do you give me like a scenario of enforcement? So I say, hey, you know, I live in your district. I call you, say, man, nothing's being done here, and I've got one of these going on next door, and, you know, I want something done. Who are you calling? Where are you lighting the fire? Where's the butt you're lighting the fire under?
Yeah, well, I think it falls under, I mean, it's obviously an authority or a power of the mayor's office. I'd probably pick up the phone and call the mayor or the chief barber or somebody like that. But municipal enforcement and Build Mobile are the ones who should be overseeing these things. So if there is one operating illegally, the city would then or should give notice that, hey, you're operating a Airbnb illegally. And then they have three things really. Do they have a business license? Are they paying the hotel tax? And then the big one, which people tend to overlook, is are they meeting the zoning requirements, the use requirements? And in order to get a business license, you have to be compliant from a zoning standpoint. And frankly, there's not but maybe three or four that have gone through the process of meeting the standard, which is a very high standard, and it's a painful process to get through in order to get a business license.
Well, but so, is the business license, though, is it just like hanging the sheepskin out, I've paid the city, I can still continue to do what I want, or is it changing, is it change the behavior?
Well, the only way you change the behavior is to take enforcement action, in my opinion, which is you're operating, it's just like if somebody put a truck stop in downtown Mobile. I mean, you're not going to allow that to happen as a city. You're going to, you know, apply a municipal lien and take them to court, environmental court or otherwise, or eventually circuit court, and you're going to get some sort of injunctive relief to have them stop operating outside the bounds of the law.
So
and you can't just enforce it from a taxation standpoint. It just doesn't work.
Well, then what happens here? Because yeah, it was like 13,000 room nights in Mobile for short-term rentals, so I don't know how many addresses that is. But if this is enforced, is it retroactive? Like, so somebody's Airbnb, you know, a house they have, they got to stop?
I mean, potentially, I think, you know, that there could be, if they haven't paid their you know, share into the tax structure, then yeah, I think you could probably retroactively go after it. But what I'm after is all these people who have invested and created these short-term rentals, I'm not saying that they can't rent their property. They can rent their property, but they can't rent it like a hotel on a short-term basis. You know, you can turn it into a long-term rental. That's fine, but you can't operate a hotel in our neighborhood. And as long the longer the city waits to take action, the worse the problem's going to get, and then it's going to balloon to a situation that the city just has no control over it. And that's a big worry or fear. Cities dropped the ball on this one.
Okay, so the law's been passed. What you're asking is not new laws, but enforce the laws that are there.
That's exactly right. And if you want to have discussions or conversations where you think hotels should be operating within the city, I'm open to those discussions. Let's hear it out, you know. But to suggest that somebody who buys a residential property in a neighborhood is entitled to operate a hotel out of it, I mean, that's a non-starter for me.
All right, as we wrap up here, what do you see going forward for the rest of the summer and the fall? The thing we may not know is going to dominate conversation with council. Do you have anything yet, like one big thing you think you're going to be debating?
Well, the building permit process, that came up this week. So the city has requested to hire some outside group to evaluate permitting fees. And then they've also requested put in a grant application to get someone in to try to use AI or other methods to improve the permitting process. My point with it all, and I think this is going to unfold in the public eye, is I'm not interested in charging more for permits, building permits, while still getting the same old product. Mm-hmm. I want to see results. And then once we get some results, then let's talk about, okay, where are we missing the ball here with pricing? Do we need to adjust pricing? And I think there are a lot of people who are willing to pay a little bit more, but they're not willing to pay more for the same old product.
Yeah, there we go. And we'll watch this conversation and get you back on the show soon, I hope.
Yes, sir. I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Always a treat to get you on. Councilman Ben Reynolds, our guest, and we will get him back on going forward. All right, getting back to your text and your calls at 251-343-0106. Also, if you thought you're going to be doing your snapper reporting during the rodeo, I got some breaking news for you. This is interesting.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and it's always good to talk to my buddy, the man at LCM Motor Cars, David McCrary. But you would talk about the kind of concierge service of having headhunt a vehicle for you. Also, you know, it's nice, David, to be able to pick up a phone and call somebody when you're going through the process of getting your next vehicle and, get an answer quickly. I appreciate that. I know everybody else does.
Well, I mean, it's what we're here for. And, you know, even when you run over something, have a flat, you know.
<That's> for sure.
we do anything we can to help any of our customers. I mean, of course, some are more needy than others. I'm kidding, Sean. but we've got plenty of inventory, lots of selection. I mean, we've got trucks, cars, SUVs, small SUVs. So it's any time we try to make sure that we've got plenty of inventory, make it a good time to come see us.
All right. Well, people want to come see you, tell them how to find you. And the online thing, too, is fantastic. They can look there before they even come to the shop.
Yeah, website, lcmmotorcars.com. We're trying to figure out a way to make our pictures just a little bit better and pop a little bit better on the site. But the pictures that you see are all taken from our iPhones at the office. So, but you can come see us. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or just give us a call at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes, David McCrary with LCM Motor Cars. Oh, yeah, speaking of that, so, you know, I think you've been following with my conversations with David. After many, many years, got another vehicle and brand new set. And we'll get back to the news, but I think y'all can feel me here. Brand new set of tires on this truck. Brand new set of dittos. I mean, beautiful, squared off, you know, heavy-duty tires. Got to go to Satsuma yesterday afternoon. So the son and I, he hops in the truck here. And that rolled up 65. I mean, brand new tires, y'all. Did I mention brand new tires? Rolling up 65. Don't hit something, you know, north of 158. And I mean, put a hole right in it. I mean, listen, I've patched a lot of tires in my life. And by the way, it was extremely hot yesterday to be dressed in regular work clothes to be changing tires. But, you know, it was just something like if it would have happened on an older set of tires, like, you know, it's road hazard, get it fixed or whatever. I wanted to kick rocks on the side of 65, be like, dang it. Brand new tires, not supposed to happen. All right, I mentioned this heads up, and I got this from my buddy, Mr. Petranga, and this is pretty important. And when he texted me this morning, I was like, I can't believe that nobody else has reached out to me about this, but here we go. So this is it's coming from the state of Alabama, okay, Conservation and Natural Resources Department. There'll be a lot of people that pay attention to the dates here, okay, because rodeo's coming up and all that. You got Roy Martin tomorrow for the kids. Says, important notice, hunting and fishing license sales and harvest reporting will be temporarily paused from July 13th through the 15th for a system upgrade. You know, as we discuss how the rest of the state, like, Jeff was talking about, I talk about it a good bit, how, like, we're this other zone. There's, like, Alabama and then there's us. That they would do this because they're probably thinking, well, you know, nothing else is going on. Everybody's got their freshwater fishing licenses and they're doing whatever. And there's no reporting this time of year, the rest of the state, because you don't have to report, you know, only, you know, deer and turkey and they're not. But down here, we report snapper, right? So through our Outdoor Alabama app. So here we go. Hunting, fishing license sales and harvest reporting temporarily paused from July 13th through the 15th. So that's Monday, Tuesday, and I guess to midnight on Wednesday. Says the current system, will close. In other words, so that if you use the app, like you snapper fish, you know, you report, you're supposed to, how you report your fish, that's going to be shut down. Even though snapper season's open, that's going to be shut down. And so if anybody at MRD knows what we're supposed to do there, give me a call, send me a text. Said, yeah, license purchases also. So if you were going to wait around to get your, you know, you fish once a year, saltwater for the rodeo or something like that, go ahead and get it now. License purchases and mandatory harvest reporting, snapper check, will be completely unavailable online via mobile app and at all licensed agents. And that is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then they hope by the 16th, which is Thursday, right? Which, by the way, come see me at the Liars Contest. But judge again this year for the rodeo. They anticipate opening this up on Thursday. Early account access opens, and I guess the new name of it is One Outdoor. One Outdoor. O-N-E, not One Outdoor. So I guess it will change from the Outdoor Alabama app. One Outdoor live goes live to the public. Beat the rush. Log in using your conservation ID or other forms of ID to claim, review, and update your personal profile on the new platform. Then on August 24th, the pre-sales go live. The new system fully opens for all annual and trip license purchases. Then at the end of August the 31st, all current 2025-2026 annual hunting and fishing privileges officially expire. You know that each year unless you have a lifetime. Make sure to transition your account by this date. So this is inconvenient. If I don't know. And once again, if somebody at MRT, or we can send them a text and see what they say, what are we supposed to do if we're snapper fishing on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for reporting? But yeah, this is all, and you can't buy licenses those days either. So you decide you're going to take a trip Monday, and you go ahead and get your license now. But this is, this is happening as of Monday. So be aware. And, take whatever measures you got to do. All right. Let me get to the text line here. That's a pain. I don't know why we're doing that. I like the Outdoor Alabama app as it is, but all right. To the text line here. Let me back up. Let's see. Southern Jedi said, I want to see Sean's map collection. Well, yeah, maybe we'll post some of those up. If y'all don't know, I guess Southern Jedi does. I have a thing for old maps. Jeff Poor does, too. That's one of the things we have in common. We talk about it, but love old maps. To me, they're like artwork. I have them hung in the house like artwork. I have hand-drawn maps, old government maps, lots of the marine navigation maps. Do love them. Let's see. Damn Yankee. But don't forget about the what-if factor. What if we're still sitting in traffic after paying tolls? ALDOT screwed up the traffic pattern for the new airport. Who's to say they won't do it again? Mike says engineers are not necessarily smarter than all of us. Yes, they went to school and specialized in a specific field that does not make them smarter than all the rest of us. No, in certain things it does. It depends on, there's different kinds of intelligence, and that's what makes society go round. My late father was an aeronautical engineer. And when I'd be struggling through mathematics, he'd look at me like, boy, what's wrong with you? But he's like, but everything else is real easy for you. I was like, yeah, it's a math thing. William went to Locksley this morning at 7 a.m., took 50 minutes, headed back at 10 a.m., took 2 hours and 5 minutes. Whatever ALDOT does, hopefully we'll make it better. Jason, Mr. Reynolds mentioned a city complex, and what a better place than the Festival Center. It certainly needs occupancy. It sure does. It's a lot of acres there. Think about the parking at festivals. I used to work at this station and another station I worked at where in 25 years ago, something like that, in the Festival Center. Back when we had the extra food store next door. There's a whole lot of parking. You've got, Academy there, and you've got the Excel, and maybe a couple other things, but it's not much. It is not much. Brandon says, so it's an Airbnb tax, shaking my head. Buddy, the councilman and his fellow counselors need to get with the Dolphin Island Planning Commission and let them show Mobile how to handle short-term rentals and B&Bs. One of the things, though, I was thinking about while he's talking, buddy, is the difference. Now, on the island, and I have buddies that live full-time on Dolphin Island, But for a lot of stuff like the condos and stuff like that, and there are people living full-time there, but it's a different kind of vibe than having it in your regular neighborhood, right? There's a lot of seasonal and people that are in and out for a week in beach communities. So maybe it upsets the apple cart a little less to have it there in that scenario versus any given neighborhood in, you know, Mobile or Baldwin County away from the water. Michael says, I'd be happy to pay a little more for permits if the current Mobile County codes, or better yet, Daphne, Fairhope, Foley, Gulf Shores, or Orange Beach codes were enforced in Mobile. Also, cutting off the fly-by-night Chuck in a truck guys would be a dream for us licensed, bonded, and fully insured guys. You know, the complaints about permits with the city, and I want to try to figure out, and hopefully Mayor Chirigatis can do it, because I know that when Mayor Stimson came in, I'm talking about first term. Remember, we were going to have an ombudsman to help people navigate the permitting process. We were going to expedite this, and I think it got better, but it didn't get fixed. Remember, that was an issue 12 years ago. I mean, it's been a while. I mean, it was an issue before that, but it was going to be addressed. And while a lot of things got done in our city, you still hear the complaints about this. I've never been in elected official or been in government like that, but I don't know why we can't just be a meeting called. Anybody who has part of the process of permitting, right? Anybody who touches permitting for the city. Y'all all come in here. We got a sandwich tray and some vegetable stuff and whatever. Everybody sit down. We're having lunch today. Where are we breaking down? And maybe they've had this conversation. They can't fix it. But wouldn't you think you could get everybody in the room and say, all right, this is not working. Where's the ball being dropped? And then how can we fix that? Do y'all need more people? Do you need more technology? Do you need to get there a little earlier, leave a little later? What do you need to do? I mean, to have this permitting issue continue to be a problem. All right. Unnamed texture said, like, after one, if hurricanes, the brilliant FEMA official decided Dolphin Island new houses had to be 19 feet up. Let's see. There's somebody saying here, Paul saying Nittos are not good rain tires. Well, then I'll do the show from the house when it rains. Just stay there. Fire Dog said, I was in Air Force Intelligence and it made me smarts. Kamala was a great candidate and Doug Jones will win the Senate. Thank you for that haiku. Let's see. Michael, the permits aren't bad. It's the ARB and FEMA floodplain garbage. Okay. This, don't you think, as long as we've been hearing this, as Tesher said, land use side of permitting process is a drag. I'm just thinking, and I don't know, sometimes you can sit and go, well, if I was the mayor, or if I was a so-and-so, I'd just do it. And you don't know maybe the nuances of why it can't be done. But from a naive view, which I might have, if people are listening downtown, say, okay, so I'm coming at this, but open-minded, naive view, can't we cater the dang lunch, get everybody in there, and let's figure out, you know, and like Michael's saying, the FEMA, ARB and FEMA floodplain garbage, okay, well, how can we... Are there other cities that navigate it better? Can we see, is there another plan, another way of doing it? Maybe there's not. Maybe it's just we're eternally cursed to have problems with permitting in my city here. But do we have like a Manhattan project on the permitting? For the next 2 weeks, y'all, we're meeting every day at lunch. Y'all don't get to go to where you want to till we get this figured out. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Fine to have you along. Hey, by the way, this time next week, we'll be doing this show Live from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. So part of our broadcast, we do Midday Mobile a week from today, so Friday from noon to 2. And then back on Saturday for a live FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors from the rodeo site. And we'll check, you know, talk about what's already happened in the rodeo forecast stuff, talk about some of the fish that have come in, talk to rodeo officials and the scientists, marine biologists, all those good folks down there. So check that out and stop by and see us at the rodeo site. Like I said, starting Thursday night, and we'll be there through Sunday. And also, while we're talking about things going on, just a reminder here, and you see all the details, the rules are on our website. If you go to fmtalk1065.com and click the link, it says America's 250 Summer Showcase on the front page. You can go through the rules or the way to win here in the Patriotic Photo Contest. First of all, right now, it's open live on our Facebook page. If you go there, it's pinned up top, facebook.com/fmtalk1065. We're asking you for your patriotic photos. And what I love is that the variety we've gotten in. We didn't put, like, it's got to have fireworks, it's got to have the American flag. It's like, what to you is that patriotic photo? It could be different for all of us. So you post it up to the site, then you let your friends know. And the one that gets the most votes, so the most likes on Facebook each week, will win a Made in USA American flag and mount kit from American Legacy and Gulf Shores. Beautiful flags. You're going to win that weekly, okay? And this goes through September 1st, so I think, 8 weeks or something of this. So that gets you in for the grand prize, which we'll get to in a second. But you're going to get the U.S.-made American flag mount or mount kit and flag from American Legacy through the end. Then that puts you and others in the drawing for the grand prize. Others can also come from folks who drop their name in a box at participating sponsor locations. So you're going to put your name in there. You're going to go by. I dropped the box off the other day with my friends at G&D Farm Feeding Outdoors. You can go to J&M Tackle, Gray's Craze, Cart Doctor, Piggly Wiggly locations in Mobile and Baldwin County. You can drop your name in there. You'll see when you go in there, you'll see the box. It has our logo on it. It says America 250. You'll see it's very patriotic looking. So there's little cards there. You put your name on, drop it in. Now, they're going to draw at those locations, and those names also go in for the grand prize. So the people from the Facebook page and the people from the participating locations, names go in for the drawing for the grand prize, which is a heck of a thing. Let me just run through this quickly here. Grand prize for the America 250 Summer Showcase. J&M Tackle. And I was just looking at the pictures of this the other day. I'm like, yes, please. J&M Tackle Orange Beach is providing a huge fishing and outdoor prize package valued at $2,500, including AnglerMate Senior Fishing Cart, TurtleBox Gen 3, Yeti Tundra 45, Patriotic Cooler. Those things are cool looking. I'd like to have one of those. Two Quantum Barrett 3000 spinning combos, two Quantum Barrett 6000 surf combos, J&M's SureHold Rope Handle Bucket filled with $250 worth of fishing tools and tackle, and a $50 J&M gift card to cover anything that they may have missed. Our friends at G&D Farm, they've got the feeding out the Sportsman's package there, valued at $600. Cool stuff. Because, you know, if you hadn't been there, they've expanded their hunting and fishing section as well. It's really quality items in there. It's like the stuff we use around here. They got it. Gray's Craze has got their charcuterie board and boxes, a $500 value. Our friends at the Cart Doctor providing a Sound Extreme Elite Power Sports Bluetooth sound bar. In other words, boom, 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 making noise. 100% waterproof, dustproof, and dirtproof LED lighting system. Perfect for your ATV, UTV, boat, golf cart. 500 watts of power and 8 marine-grade speakers for great listening experience. That's a $500 value. And Piggly Wiggly, I could use this. $500 shopping spree. So those are all together in the grand prize, but you got to start by putting your picture on our Facebook page, your patriotic photo, and getting people to vote for it, to like it, to click it. And each week, one of y'all are going to be in the running and stop by our participating sponsors, drop your names in, and you're in for the grand prize drawing that we'll do at the end of August. So it's America 250 Summer Showcase with FM Talk 106.5 and our great sponsors. Thank you to so many great folks that hopped on to do this with us. All right, let me grab a text or two and then get ready for the news. Let's see. Bucky Beaver said, I want to borrow something you said who 55 years ago or you said, who 55 years ago or however long, 60, was sitting around a table and said, let's don't be able to bridge over the river. Let's build a tunnel on I-10 under the river. What the very thinking was. Love your show. Let's see. Paul, too many Democrats in the permitting department. Well, this is my naive view, but I sit everybody down in permitting with the city, and we're going to figure out where the ball's being dropped or where the insurmountable wall that we need to knock down is. And just get it in regular people language. Alvin says Alabama needs to go back to fishing licenses being good for a year from the date of purchase like they used to back in the 90s. Yeah, I remember those days. I remember our paper licenses. Michael says, what if we're not ancient and we don't have a Facebook account? Sign up, sport. You got time. You're a kid. Go ahead and do it. We'll be back. Great conversation coming up with Josh Givens. Get ready.